It's a joy, and I can't get over God's goodness to us. These precious folk here that I know fighting battles, going through valleys, got heartaches and sorrows, but you just remember, He'll fight your battles for you. He'll go with you. He's the captain. He'll go in front of you. Fact is, He's God above us, God beside of us, God around us, and God under us. Amen. I'm glad for that. And you can't teach God anything. God always has known everything. Then He has always loved me because He's always known me, and He's always... That'll blow your mind if you think about it long enough. But I'm glad it's real. Jesus, nothing takes Him by surprise. He's always on time, always got it together. And I praise Him and thank Him for it. And I pray you'll help me tonight to get the thought I've got in my mind together so I can share it with you and let God speak to our hearts together tonight. In Matthew chapter 14, verse number 22, stand please while I read the word of God. And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. I pause there to say this. He's always on time. They thought they were sinking, but He walked on the sea to them. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were of trouble, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water." He said, "Come." When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. They worshipped Him. Said He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I want to say thank You for the Lord Jesus. Thank You for the privilege we had to be in the house of God. Thank You tonight, God, for the songs that have been sung. And I thank You for the adult choir. I thank You for the little children. What a blessing they are. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for the Wright family sung. I pray You bless them. Lord, thank You tonight that we can come together in the house of God and worship. Just look unto Jesus and find strength and help. Lord, I pray for everyone in this house that's struggling with some that seems like a disaster to them. I pray in Jesus' name, God, You'd help them, strengthen them, encourage them. Lord, I pray tonight Your power be manifested. God, You do what You want to do in the service and help us, God, share what You want us to share. We'll thank You for all that You do. We pray for that divine anointing power of the Holy Ghost be upon us. Rebuke the devil, powers of evil that would work against the preaching of the Word of God. Then, Father, those that know not Jesus Christ, I pray, You convict them and draw them and save them. Lord, we love them, lift them to You. Pray tonight, God, have Your way. Magnify Yourself. We'll thank You for all You do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to try to share with you tonight a subject. I guess if I tried to title it, I'd title it like this. We ought to give it a good try anyway. We ought to give it a good try anyway. I believe all my heart that Apostle Peter has got a bad rap sometimes. And some story I just read to you and some other things I'll try to share with you tonight, and we'll use the Apostle Peter as one that really tried. And you know, it's easy to see others' faults and failures, disappointments, but I'm glad, thank God, something we can see comes out positive on this. And let me say this, and I don't know if I get all the details exactly right, but if I'm not mistaken, Abraham Lincoln ran for legislator and was voted that down, did not win it. His sweetheart died. He had a nervous breakdown. He ran for Congress twice and lost. Ran for Senate twice and lost. Ran for vice president and lost. Then he became president of the United States of America. What if he'd have quit first time? I don't know what you think of Abraham Lincoln. I'm not going into that. But what if he'd have quit? He's a name, it's a household name, been known through history. And what if he quit that first time? They voted him down and he didn't get it. What if he quit when he had a nervous breakdown? What if he quit when everything else seemed wrong? His girlfriend had died and everything had fallen apart for him. Congress had voted him down twice, Senate twice, vice president once. Then he went on and became president of the United States of America. And I know there's a whole lot of debate about some decisions made during that time, but that be as it may, we are where we are, and let's pray for our country. Amen. I know one thing, Abraham Lincoln had some great words to speak. He spoke with some words of wisdom, and I believe went through a whole lot more sorrow and heartache than we ever dream about. But God help us tonight that you and I can realize the fact that he's gone, we're alive. And we can do something for God today. I don't know all of his religious background, all that stuff, but I do know this, that every one of us in this house are hearing the gospel tonight, and most of us in this house would profess to be saved, I believe are saved, and yet there probably are some here that's not saved, and we certainly are concerned about you that do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and I pray that God would have his way and speak to your heart. But I've been moving since Jubilee and trying to deal with this thing about believing God and moving on and keep things going. And not just because we had good preaching, good singing, a great time in Jubilee, but that we will continue on in the work of God here at Gateway Baptist Church and sending missionaries out and getting the work done and seeing it done. You say, preacher, what can I do? You can try. You say, preacher, I can't lead anybody. You can try. You say, preacher, I don't know how to be. You can try. Preacher, I don't know how to talk to them. You can try. Amen. I know you youngins know how to text. There's a child in here don't know how to text. It's a shock of life out of me. They sit in the same room, text each other before they talk. I came out of the old school where you can sit down in the living room and y'all talk together. Now it's click, click, click. That be as it may. Text somebody and invite them to church. Not during church now. But some other time, text them and try to get them to come to church. It'll be a blessing. But let's talk about Peter here just for a few minutes and let me try to share what God's laid on my heart. And let's give it a good try. And let me go back to chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16. They got sad news. And here Peter is. Now, we many times talk about him opening his mouth and sticking his foot in it. I guess in one sense we can say that, but the others didn't even open their mouths. Look here in verse 21 of chapter 16. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Now I realize the fact that you could pick up on that verse and say, here is Apostle Peter, this man trying to rebuke the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to straighten him out. But in all reality, the Apostle Peter was really caring about Jesus. In all reality, he was trying to say to him, we love you, and we don't want to see you go and die, and what you're talking about, don't let it come to pass. And I believe that he said, I believe that you're the Son of the living God. He didn't put that in those words. I'm kind of thinking what he might be saying in that conversation, but he spoke up. He had something to say about it. He cared enough about Jesus that he spoke up and trying to let Jesus help Jesus, and you can't help him, but he tried. And let me back up on that. You can help Jesus. You can help Jesus get the gospel out. Amen. That's why he said he came to seek and save sinners. We can sure help him with that. And here we find him as speaking up, and the Bible says 107:2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And so we need to say so and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I have a hard time with that, preacher. At least try. At least try. Amen. You may stumble over some words, and you may not know how to say what you want to say, but you can utter out Jesus somehow is my Savior. Amen. And after a while, you get to where you want to talk a whole lot and be willing to tell people about Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, secondly, let's look at where he walked while others wondered what's going on. Others wondered about what in the world's happening. Here comes the Savior walking on water. In verse number 25, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Disciples saw him walking, and they cried out for fear. Verse 26, verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Glory to God. Aren't you glad in those times when storms are raging and it looks like a ship is sinking, and Jesus shows up and says, be not afraid. It's I. Be of good cheer. I say hallelujah. I tell you right now, these times I thought I was sinking down for sure. And Jesus show up. He's always on time. And he say, be of good cheer. I didn't see much to be cheerful about, but he said, be of good cheer. It's I. Then you get your eyes on him. You got a whole lot to be cheerful about. And you get your eyes off the troubles, off the sorrows, off the heartaches, and get on the blessed, darling Savior. You talk about heartaches and sorrows and disappointment. He left glory and came down here for you and me. He went to the cross of Calvary and died for our sin. He shed his blood. He was crowned with thorns, beaten and striped and nailed to the cross. Hey, he did all that because he loved us. Fact is, he was forsaken by the Father because he loved us. And so you and I and our problems, our difficulties, our things we're wrestling with, let's remember that Peter walked on water. And you can criticize him all you want to, but at least he got out of the boat. And the other 11 didn't get out of the boat. They stayed in the boat, but he got out and walking to Jesus Christ. And I want to show you something else as he walked to Jesus. And Peter answered, in verse 28, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, I've never walked on water. I don't even know where the rocks are. But some folks know where the rocks are, they walk on water. But anyway, walking on water, something that I've never done, I don't think any of y'all have, very far you went down. But here Peter steps out, asks Jesus about it. Jesus says, come. And I believe there's a lot that could be preached in that, but I'm not trying to head that way tonight. And it says when Peter, look in verse number 20, verse 30. When he saw the wind boisterous, you see, he can't see wind. He said when he saw the wind boisterous. He saw the results of that wind, what it was doing, and while the waves were boiling up and everything that was happening. And he was afraid. And began to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now notice, please, in verse number 29, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. As long as his eyes was on Jesus, he was all right. But then he said, when he saw the wind boisterous, when he looked around, when he saw the waves, when he saw the other things around, he began to sink. But the glorious part I like about this is, when he began to sink, he said, Lord, save me. He didn't go in any great long speech about, I've been doing this and I believe you're God and all this stuff. He just cried out and said, Lord, save me. And I like the next verse. It said, and immediately Jesus reached down, picked him up. I say, glory to God, it don't take a whole long time for God to do something for you. When you're in a desperate situation, he was desperate. He'd gone walking to Jesus. Now, that was the evidence of faith and walking to Jesus. But when he got his eyes off of Jesus, began to sink. You and I get our eyes off of Jesus, we'll do the same thing. We'll begin to sink down away from the spiritual life we have. We're beginning to sink away from the church. We're beginning to sink away from the things of God and the Bible. But, oh, when you realize that you're sinking down, cry out to God, Lord, save me. And I'm not talking about going cold on God and having to get saved again. I'm not talking about that. If you ever get born again in the family of God, you are born forever. Saved forever. God doesn't save and then let you go. He is our salvation. He never fails. He never did it, took a case he couldn't handle. And so we're saved forever. But I do believe that you and I that are saved, hey, it's time for you to cry out, the Lord help me. As well as we can cry out, Lord save. Unsaved, you can come tonight and come to an altar and just cry out, Lord save me. And he'll save you if you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. I'm glad you can do that. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, that's simple. It is simple but profound. Jesus Christ is salvation. Salvation is not in the plan. Salvation is in the person. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we take the verses of Scripture and we give the people. They might see what Jesus did for them and where they are and where they're going and all that. But Jesus Christ is the salvation. And so here Peter is and he sinks. And Jesus reaches down, picks him up, holds him by the hand. They walk to the boat, get back, get in the boat, and the wind lays down. The seas calms. I say to you, there's times we're walking toward Jesus, but we get all these other things on our mind and heart. The storms they talked about, the problems they sang about, and we don't have to go through them alone. Hallelujah. We can cry, Lord, and immediately he answers our prayer. I can't get over that. If you don't get anything else tonight, when you walk out of the building, you remember that preacher said, the Bible said that Peter started to sing, and immediately he cried, Lord, save me, and Jesus reached down immediately and got him. And I say, hallelujah. I'm glad we got a God like that. Let me show you something else in John 18. Turn to John 18. And verse number 10. Now here we find Simon Peter fighting while the others feared. He wasn't afraid to fight. When the Apostle Peter drew that sword, he meant to use it. He did use it. He just missed a man's head. He probably ducked. Got his ear instead. Look at verse 10. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. He said he drew his sword. Peter probably carried, you're talking about carrying concealed weapons. Peter carried one concealed. I don't believe he concealed a sword. I don't think so. It had to be a mighty small sword. And he carried it around. And I don't think Jesus told him to take it off and leave it at home. He just had it on. And I don't know what he did with it. Maybe chopped fish up with it. I don't know. But he had a sword. And then when they came to get Jesus, all the other disciples were there too. They were with him. All of them. Except Judas Iscariot, who had gone to betray him. And as they were there, Peter was the only one that even put forth the effort to fight. You say, well, Jesus told him put it up and not fight. I know that. But when he first came, Peter didn't know what to do. So he just said, I'll fight. He meant to fight. I believe he meant to die for him if he had to. I believe he just swung that sword and somebody killed him. And not Jesus told him to put it up. And the amazing thing is, Jesus told him to put his sword up. And then he reached down, got the man's ear, and put it back on his head. Now, if I'd been that crowd that came after Jesus, I believe I'd have turned around and went back home and said, leave him alone. Amen. I don't know what Peter thought. And he thought, well, I know you just me trying to cut their ears off. He's going to put them back. Probably if I cut his head off, he'd put it back. And so he put his sword up. But here they are. I'm saying to you tonight, but there is a time to fight. And here Peter thought it was his time to fight. And so he jumped in. And I'm not being critical of him for that. I believe he loved Jesus so much he was willing to die for him. I believe tonight you and I will love him enough to be willing to die for him. And Paul said, I fought a good fight. Now, he wasn't talking about with a sword, but he fought a good fight. We need to be in the fight for Jesus, amen. Hey, the time to stand up and fight and say this is worth it. You remember what I preached the first of the year? Here we stand. There's some things I will not waver on by the grace of God. Hey, some things here we stand by the grace of God. This Bible is an inspired word and preserved word of God for the English speaking people. Amen. I stand there unapologetic. It is the word of God. Amen. And I say to you tonight, there's some things we're fighting for. Hey, some things you ought not roll over and say, well, we're Christians and we just don't get into arguments about that. Hey, some things we better pick up for. Amen. Our nation is in the mess she's in tonight. Well, let me say our church is in the mess, start with. And when I say our church, I'm not talking about every church. I'm not talking about every individual Christian. But by and large, churches have left the way of God, left the word of God, and trying to please people and trying to get along with everybody and do everything. And our United States of America has gone the way of trying to appease everybody and satisfy everybody. You can't do that. Somewhere you have to stand. And Peter stood. And I say thank God for the Apostle Peter. Amen. When it comes time to fight, fight. Earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Now, I want you to look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. If I can find it, it's here, I know. Matthew 26, verse number 56. Now he's following the Lord Jesus while everybody else is fleeing. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples, notice what it said, all, A-L-L. All the disciples forsook him and fled. Peter wasn't the only one there. They that had laid their hands on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see this end. Now here we find in verse 58, Peter followed him afar off. Now we know that John knew the high priest. We know that John had something to do with getting Peter in. We know that. We know that John was at the foot of the cross. We know that much. But and when they first came to got Jesus, they all fled. But then it says Apostle Peter followed afar off. But where were the others? I believe it's better to follow afar off than not follow at all. Amen. He followed. It may have been afar off. And I realize he's great preaching and following afar off. You can really lay it down on that. But I'm telling you, some folk don't even follow far off. When the going gets rough and things get out of whack and everything's messed up, they just quit following. But Peter followed afar off. I say, let's give him credit for following somewhere. Maybe not as close as he should have been. They wasn't as close as he should have been. But neither were any of the rest of them. But remember Peter for following far off because it talks about him doing that. And then it talks about Peter being there watching, seeing what was going to happen. It talks about later John being at the foot of the cross. And that's the only two disciples that even talks about being anywhere around. Where were the rest of the crowd? They were worse off than they were because they weren't even close by anywhere to be found. And so they got messed up. But then Peter got messed up by denying the Lord Jesus. But I want you to notice something else. He cried. He cried while others, Matthew 26, verse 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, behold, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. He went out and wept bitterly. Peter denied three times, and he knew the Lord Jesus, even cursed and said, I don't know him. Others were somewhere hiding. But Peter, he at least went out and wept bitterly. When he realized what he had done, here's the man that said, Jesus, don't let this happen to you. This was the man that walked on the water. This was the man that had cut that servant's ear off. This was a man that meant to do all of that. But yet he got in a weak point. And the maids were around. And he was going to fight those that had swords, but when it come to being asked about that, I talked about himself. He said, I don't know him. And he said that three times. And then when the rooster began to crow, he wept bitterly.
went out and wept bitterly. I believe he wept and said, Lord, help me. Forgive me. I believe he's saying again, Lord, come again and help me. I'm sinking again because I'm sinking in my own self, my disappointments of myself. I'm sinking. Help me. And I believe the Lord somehow come by a breeze by his way and helped him. Then when you know about the resurrection, Jesus told the disciples, the lady going back to tell the disciples, he said, and tell Peter. He remembered what he'd been out there weeping bitterly and wanted to know he loved him and cared about him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. At least he tried. I want to at least try to serve the Lord. At least try to get somebody in church. At least try to win somebody to God. At least try to do what God wants me to do. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to all of our hearts. Help us today, Lord, that we may try with your help, and your grace, and your mercy to do that you'd have us to do in the midst of the storm or the battle of wherever it may be, that we'll stand and do what we should do by the grace of God. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.